Come on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketer! Mortar charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 97 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, March 20th, 2016. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about the ups and downs of the Wild Week, retirements, and the NHL General Manager's Meeting. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hello.
So how was your, St. Paddy's Day?
Tradition! Sorry. I've been dealing with Fiddler on the Roof a lot lately.
No green beer for me.
No, I didn't get a chance to indulge in any myself. I got a lot of Jewish plays at a Christian church.
Okay.
Okay.
Felska knows.
He knows your pain.
He does. He's been there.
You know, my boss was telling me, my boss's boss was telling me about how, you know, before St. Patrick's Day, there's another day, and it's like a Finnish Saints Day that's like really big in Finland. I don't know.
It's a Finnish conspiracy, it sounds like.
It could be. I haven't researched this, but I enjoyed the fact that Finland was coming up in my workplace.
Uh-huh.
You know, but he is half Finnish, so, you know, there is that point of it.
Okay, so are you downing on the Finnish holiday?
No.
Are you liking it?
I think it. Well, the thing was is that the Finnish holiday was where you get drunk because it was on the 16th, and the 17th was actually a day of rest for the Finns.
Oh.
And so I kind of like that because that makes you avoid all the retards on the 17th.
I gotta say, on the 17th, driving home from Wayzata to Blaine, I saw at least six signs that said extra DWI enforcement. Like, It was insane, like, the amount that I saw. And then I saw the...
Did you see anyone with a t-shirt that said, "Pull me over, I'm Irish"?
Not on the freeway. Although, I did see the sign that said, 1 in 4... accidents or 1 in 4 deaths are caused by drunk drivers, and I'm going, that's 25%.
How many of those are drunk drivers themselves?
Well, and there's that
0%.
I mean, I'm looking
0.1%.
At it,
1%.
They're invincible.
Yeah,
it was like they ate the flashing mushroom in Mario Brothers,
uh-huh.
And they started driving.
That makes it Mario Kart, then, though, doesn't it?
A little, actually.
Well, maybe I'm wrong with this, but I think they're looking at this wrong, going, well, 3/4 are not caused by drunk drivers. So, I mean, you know, your odds are better driving drunk.
I guess it depends on how many times, how frequently you're driving drunk.
Well, there is that. Oh, God.
We're already going down a bad path. So before we get too far into this, just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at 3inthebox.
Just don't follow us while you're drinking and driving.
And let's talk some hockey here. Or not. Let's talk some hockey. There we go. So the Wild had, like we said, an up and down week. They started out with a loss in overtime against Ottawa. Overtime, they had it in the bag, had it, and then gave up a goal with, I think it was 7 or 8 seconds left. It wasn't much time on the clock. Spurgeon, you know, he came up real big on one of those offensive. Zone times for the Senators where he blocked like 4 shots in a row and he was just getting beaten.
Yeah.
But, you know, is this a case where the Wild are just turtling too much here?
I don't know. I don't know where the Wild, I don't know what they're thinking right now. I mean, honestly, the past couple of years where they've been coming up close to making playoffs. All of a sudden, they had a great push. And this year, it seems like they're not even trying.
It's been lackluster, that's for sure.
I don't like this team right now. I really don't.
Well, honestly, that's the way this team has kind of been all season. You know, we've had our ups and downs. We got a fast start and, you know, a little lull and then a, you know, decent period and then a huge lull. I mean, it's definitely been a roller coaster ride this season. I don't know. I think that with the players that we have, it's not like we've got, you know, that one, you know, or two standout guys who are...
We don't have a lot of dynamic players where, like, they're going to change the face of the game.
Right. We need input from everybody, basically, is what we need to get the job done.
It's like Dubnyk was that guy last year.
Yeah.
And that was luck. I mean, no one was... I don't think anyone reasonable was expecting the same thing to happen this year. No,
but I think when Dubnyk came in, I think that was a resurgence of we've got competence and faith in our goalie system so we can start playing better now. And we don't have that this year. We don't have the big... I thought we had it with Torch coming in as a new coach, but we don't have that right now with the players.
Well, and I don't know. I think, like, our goalie situation, I mean, we're not... necessarily super extraordinary, but by no means am I horribly worried about our goaltending.
It's if our team is playing the way they should be and being kind of defensive first, yeah. You know, our goaltender situation should be okay. Dubnyk is at very least league average, mm-hmm. which should be good enough, you know?
That should be in the top 50% to make the playoffs.
I mean, if your system is solid enough where you're not allowing enough shots on goal, I mean, because that's really what we should be striving for, is
right.
limiting the shots on goal. It shouldn't necessarily be a case of, you know, yes, we don't want goals, but, you know.
Right, and when the shots do come on goal, they need to be the low percentage goals. We need to not be, I mean, half of the time these goalies are handcuffed, pardon my French.
I think that's pardon your LaPanta.
Pardon my LaPantas. They're handcuffed because, you know, we're creating bad turnovers. We're getting odd man rushes based on these turnovers. We're making bad turnovers in our own zone that are leading to some of these goals. And that's...
Well, hey, Jive, and Jive, I don't want you to feel like I'm putting all the pressure on the goalie, and that it's all Dubnyk. I think Dubnyk was a big part of last season. I don't think he's a big part of this season.
He was a big part of last season's success, but not a big part of this season's failures.
Exactly. Okay. Actually, Aaron, that's a very good way to put that.
Okay.
I do agree with that. I think he's been as solid as he's been in goal as he was last year at this time. I think our forwards and our defense are the lackluster part right now.
Well, in you know, speaking of, you know, odd man rushes and teams getting high quality chances on our goaltenders, you know, going from the Ottawa game to the New Jersey game where the Wild got smoked.
What happened in that game?
7-4, Devils won. It was the Battle of Christmas Jerseys.
Can you get more green and red happening in one single game?
It was something, I guess. That's one way to
wrong,
put it.
Wrong time of year, though.
But the Wild give up 7 goals to the Devils. Devils are the lowest scoring team in the NHL.
Except against the Wild, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Dubnyk was
against two goalies.
Dubnyk was pulled after 3. Kemper gave up 4 on his own. You know, does this put to bed at least a little bit, you know, the whole goalie controversy of whether Dubnyk is good enough or Kemper should be playing more?
Honestly,
I mean, Kemper did not play well either. I mean, personally speaking, I look at that team at that game and I go, both the team in front of them was playing like crap. and, you know, someone's got to step up. And I don't think Dubnyk or Kemper was playing very well.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, and that's where the fall down, I think, comes in with most of our goals that we're giving up, is that basically there's failures in the system in front of them.
Right.
And some things are getting through. Maybe it's due to a little bit younger defensive core. Maybe it's,
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
This is one of the, I mean, if you think about it, you know, Suter is the oldest guy, and you've got
and the most veteran.
He's the most veteran, and he's got like a 6-year gap between maybe
and an all-star.
Might be a 4-year gap between him and Scandella,
mm-hmm.
which I think is the next oldest.
Yeah,
there's a huge gap in age there,
right?
And you know, every year we've had another D-man that was like an older guy.
My opinion, any team that gives up 7 goals against a team, it's not a goalie failure, period. That's a team, that's a defensive breakdown. You've got more things you need to look at that point. And, I mean, the fact that they give up 7 goals against 2 different goalies, yeah, no, your goalies aren't the issue on this one. They may have given up 1 or 2 soft goals, but you've got a defensive breakdown. You've got an offensive team that is not doing what they should be. You have a defensive core that is not blocking shots, that is not taking away those chances that they should be.
So, but speaking of chances, you know, the next game, Wild actually pulled off an overtime win over the Hurricanes. The Wild now have won 2 games against the Hurricanes in overtime this year. Vanek was scratched. That was a big thing. The second time in this year he's been scratched. He was scratched again tonight.
2 different coaches.
2 different coaches, and now he's been scratched 3 times in the year with tonight. But it was also Zucker coming back after being scratched 2 games in a row. You know, reportedly, Vanek hasn't talked with Torchetti since these scratches here. And, you know, really, what is the deal with Vanek? I mean, is he officially a cancer at this point, or is
he started off really strong, and I'm still for Vanek. I'm still pro Vanek on this point. Right now, I liked what he was doing at the beginning of the season, but he seems to have lost his edge, and it's not the same guy. He's not putting up the same sniper shots. His passes, I mean, I guess you could say they're going to guys that don't have quite the shot.
Well, and at this point, you know, I mean, maybe you're right, you know, talking about it being, you know, some sort of a cancer. Maybe, you know, even behind the scenes, locker room and you know, team bus or whatever, maybe he's not being a positive piece to the team. And, I mean, point taken. I mean, even with Pominville out, Torch is still scratching him. So, I mean, there's got to be something fairly big going on there that, you know, maybe it hasn't come into the forefront and we just don't know about as, you know, as the casual fan. But, yeah.
Cancerous?
Well, but at the same point, though, he is the 4th highest scoring player on this team. And we're scratching him.
Right.
I don't know what that says at this point, because this team
needs something.
They haven't been winning consistently.
Yeah.
They haven't been doing anything consistently, though.
No. Well, they've been consistently inconsistent.
Does that count? I mean,
I don't know. but you know.
Yeah, seriously, eh? You lost me on that one.
But he's. I mean, there's no denying he's at 41 points. He's one of the top scorers on the team. Does scratching him make this team better? I mean, the team has obviously won 2 games in a row. We've had to go to overtime in both games, though.
Shootout against Chicago.
And honestly, I could look at plenty forwards these last 2 games where I go, I don't know if their effort was any better than Vanek's.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this... Maybe it's already convenient because you've already scratched Vanek several times here, so it's easy to scratch him again. You know?
Maybe, but that's a guy who's still making some dough, and you want him to,
right?
You know, be contributing to the team.
But if you want to scratch a guy who's making a lot of money, would you change pace and go, well, I'm going to scratch Suter tonight or Parisi?
Right.
Well, no, I'm going to scratch Vanek because I've already scratched him. I've already pissed him off.
Well, that's,
you know.
Yeah, but that's the thing is I think that maybe, you know, there's got to be something else that's, you know, behind the scenes that we're not seeing that's, you know, the cause of this.
And, right.
You know, maybe he didn't come in for the team curfew or something.
Maybe
that.
He's gambling
know.
Again.
Right. Oh, maybe that's it.
It is March Madness.
Treasure Island is calling, right?
Damn, could I run into him at the casino?
Well, if you want to win some money, that'd probably be a good idea, you know?
Can I bet against him? I mean, I like Vanek. I think, I don't know what's gotten into his head, but it does seem as of late he's not doing what he was doing at the beginning of the season that proved us wrong from the end of last season.
Right.
Now he's back into the same place that we're going, yeah, this is why we dogged on you last year.
Which is really weird because, you know, at the beginning of the year, like you said, we're all like, wow, this is the Vanek we wanted.
This is what we should be seeing right now. And now it's going, now you're just proving our point. Like,
right.
I mean, this is why we were dogging on you last year. And now it's not just us. Now it's the coaches dogging on him by scratching him. And it's not just one coach. It's two different coaches now.
Yeah.
That have scratched him healthy.
Maybe it is, but I mean.
Two coaches have scratched Zucker as well, though.
And this is true.
Does that mean Zucker's part of the problem?
Well.
I'm just saying, you know.
And maybe it's just making room to give some younger talent. Maybe.
No, it's not, though, because it's going to be Carter or
that's true.
Porter or Stoll. It's going to be a guy who is a marginal player.
As opposed to like Fontaine or Schrader,
Schrader
getting
would be,
a shot?
Schrader would be the one exception to that rule,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, there's plenty of guys who are not producing right now, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, about guys that are not producing. I mean, most of the Wild team right now is not producing with what they're getting paid for.
Well, speaking of producing, though, the Wild win tonight. They went in a shootout, you know.
Yeah, they did.
They had a lead. I think it was 2-0 at one point. But Dubnyk played a great game. There was He let up the one softy, but it was I thought it was overall a pretty good game. He had that good poke check on a failed Brodin, defensive maneuver there.
Yep. I don't know what he is trying to do.
Right.
Honestly,
but Dubnyk, you know, made a very astute poke check and saved some bacon there and. Somehow the Wild pull off 2 points. It really doesn't matter that we gave Chicago a point because it really doesn't affect us.
Yeah.
Well, it does.
No, it really doesn't, though.
I mean, they're in our division, so it does affect us.
No, well, but it might affect a matchup, but it's not going to affect our chances of getting in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, you know we're still going to be playing Chicago first or second round, and we're still going to lose.
Well,
we
are 4-0 against Chicago this year.
Yeah.
This is true. You know what? Maybe this is good for the Wild.
Maybe this is our year. So, but anyways, I mean, after tonight's performance, do you guys think that the Wild appear that they really expect to make a run to the playoffs? I mean,
I think Dumba does because he laid out Kane tonight.
He made a run, but it wasn't a run. That was a clean hit.
It was a totally clean hit, and it was crazy because the you had Kenny Albert and Eddie Olczyk, you know, just, I think it was Eddie.
At first they were like, okay, yeah, it was a clean hit.
And then they were like, oh.
That was dirty.
I think the player safety.
Make up your minds.
Player safety is going to have to say something about this hit, you know. And then they cut to Mike Milbury in the studio, and he's like, I think it was a good hit. And it was like, you know, all three of us are watching the post game here, and we're going, did we just agree with Mike Milbury?
We did.
Has hell frozen over? Are we now?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Are we now best buddies with Norm Green?
You know what? The Vikings on a totally different sports issue. We have the Vikings have not won a Super Bowl yet, so hell has not frozen over.
Fair enough.
Where's the cricket sample right there?
You want crickets?
Yeah, thank you.
We got goal horns and crickets.
Jive Fat fingered that one.
So, anyways, with the back-to-back shootout wins, what do you guys believe is the reason for the recent success we've seen in OT here?
You know what the reason is?
What is it?
It's because the Wild's 3-on-3 play is now super boring. It is seriously the most boring 3-on-3 play.
But it's safe.
It's super safe, but it is goddamn boring.
Are we going Lemaire era? Like trap it like it's hot?
It's not even trap. It's like their most boring power plays. Because even when they're in the offensive zone, they're cycling with the three guys.
Speaking of power play, I mean, tonight was absolutely atrocious on the power play.
Yes, it was. But when they're on the 3-on-3, it's been super boring. Super, super boring.
That's fine, but we're keeping the puck out of our own net as well there.
Yeah, but
this is true.
And you're playing for, you know, hopefully a chance, I guess, where there is a break where you might have a 2-on-1 situation or something.
Jive, I'm going to agree with you on this to a point. We got the point no matter what once we hit 3-on-3. So at that point, for the point, it doesn't matter what you do, but you can get the extra point if you put the puck in the net.
And you can also get a point if you...
You're guaranteed the point.
But if you put...
As long as you don't pull the goalie.
But if you put yourself in a bad situation in the 3-on-3, things can go south very quick.
But you're still guaranteed the point.
When you've got one person back. And
we need more
right
than
now,
one point.
Are we worried about one point?
We need two points.
Both of those points.
No, yeah. Absolutely. But you're guaranteed the point, which is what you're going at, I thought.
No, but if you have no faith in your ability to get those 2 points in the 3-on-3, you want to go to the shootout because you think we're going to possibly be able to beat them in the shootout. Whereas in the 3-on-3, I don't think we can beat them in a run and gun.
Well, you know what? Screw it. Put the puck in the net and not worry about it.
Well, it's easier said than done with it when we're talking about the Wild, isn't it?
Well, we've seen that multiple times.
And we did even see, was that still in the 3-on-3 when Parisi had the wide open look at the... Yeah,
that was regulation.
Was that still regulation?
Yeah, I think it was regulation, but...
Power play. He
did have super wide open there.
Look at the net. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, you can definitely try to, push the matter, but I think you're far better off to play safe because whether you get a point from losing in the 3-on-3 or you get a point from losing in the shootout, your odds are better if you play it well, take your chances when you get them, and when the shootout comes, you obviously get 3 chances, and they get 3 chances.
Well, maybe.
And with 3-on-3, we've already seen the Wild have not fared well on 3-on-3.
Yeah.
So at that point, why not just take your chance with the shootout?
And honestly, we're not a team that's built for like a 3-on-3 type game. We're a bunch of those average guys in ice hockey. It keeps coming back to the Nintendo ice hockey game.
So that means we're not going to win a cup anytime soon.
It doesn't mean that.
The average guys will win a cup?
If you've got the chemistry right in your team and things are going the right way, a lot of times what it does come down to really, in my opinion,
is how fast you can punch A-B-A-B-A-B-A-B?
No, it comes down to your goalie. I mean, you pick up a hot hand in a goalie, and he'll take you real far.
If they cannot
put the puck in the net or if they can't, beat your goaltender, they're going to have a tough time beating you.
All right.
Yeah.
And I think that every goalie out there has, hit their hot streak or hit a nice stride.
And then sometimes
the ones that take them to the to the Stanley Cups. I mean, that's where it is.
And then sometimes your goaltender gets injured.
So, yeah, Kemper's out right now.
Yeah, upper body.
Kemper's out with an upper body. We got Pommaville still out. So he
6 games in a row, I think he's missed now.
Wow, I mean, and he was Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Well,
wow.
We totally Beavis and Butthead that.
That's exactly what I was singing right there. I was like, wow, we're going way back to the 90s with MTV here.
That's okay. We're allowed to. So, yeah, Pommaville's still out with an upper body. Or, no.
I think he's lower body.
Lower body.
Yeah.
Kemper's out with an upper body injury. You know, with Pommaville starting to turn his game around this season, are the Wild missing his presence? I'm going to say no. I'm answering my own question on this one. I'm going to say no.
And I guess for myself, I think that, you know, right now we need all the average guys on us that we can get.
you want the medium guys.
Yes.
Shive's all about just getting the medium guys.
And actually, at the point where Pommaville did go out, he was being productive to the team. He was one of the ones who recently was getting into, you know, getting the puck into the net, which I think, honestly, is the Wild's main struggle. We never have enough offense.
We never had much with him.
There's not very many games where we see the, you know, 6 or 7 goals given up by our goaltenders. Yes, sometimes there is an off night like New Jersey. But usually I think that our goalies put up a good enough show that if we actually had some offense, we could definitely win. So that said, I know Pommaville hasn't had the greatest year this year, but
understatement.
But at the time when he did go out here, I think that he was actually a productive member of the team. And so, yeah, I'm going to say that they are missing him a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, even though I know I'll be one of the first people to dog on Pommaville and his performance, it really comes down to whether you think Pommaville is better than Carter or Porter or Davy Jones, you know. Is he better than those guys?
Hey, we're the monkeys. Sorry, you said Davy Jones.
I know. Yeah. But is,
how many Davy Jones references do we have?
Give it some time.
Locker. His locker. Davy Jones' locker.
But it's only a matter of time before, you know, Pommaville.
Jive's looking at me funny with Davy Jones' locker. I'm sorry, Aaron, to cut you off. Yeah, you don't know the pirates speak?
It's not the first time tonight, so it won't be probably won't be the last time.
Come on, and the three of you guys, you put one thing, you're out of this game.
But, you know, whether or not to have whether Pommaville's better than the fourth line or whether Vanek's better than the fourth line, that's really the question at hand. And even as poorly as Pommaville has played or Vanek appears to play, because I think a lot of Vanek he doesn't appear to have hustle, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, it's appearance. That's really what it is.
But
you know,
what Suter does look like he has hustle either.
But oh man, there's been multiple times, especially tonight, that we saw Suter what's he doing right now? He's dogging it.
Yeah, but how much is Suter getting paid? You know. That's really what...
More than we are for sitting here talking about him.
That's what it really comes down to with Suter. You know, we're talking, you know, he's getting, you know, $7.5 million a year, and you're not going to bench a guy making that much a year.
I think I'm going to take points from what both of you said with Pommaville. He dogs it. He tends to miss the net, but he does tend to also set up Parisi quite a bit for some of the goals. And I mean, like, you know, there's been situations where he probably could have fed and gotten an assist on a couple of goals during tonight's game against Chicago.
Yeah, it's possible, but then we saw what Parisi did with the wide open net when he had it.
Yeah, so. He did kind of just chop that one to bits.
Yep. So, let's see here. Any other injuries? We could talk about Kemper.
I mean,
we talked about
Commonwealth. So, okay, with Kemper being out right now, I mean, you know, he split the game with Dubnyk.
And Dubnyk, when Dubnyk got pulled against New Jersey there.
Which Kemper obviously played a little.
Kemper didn't play very well either.
No.
Honestly,
are we missing Backstrom at this point?
Well, and that was a great thing is Backstrom played tonight, and I don't know if you guys saw it or you know our listeners out there saw it, but he's got a new mask.
Oh, I didn't see the mask.
He's got a new mask for Calgary, and it's got the pine trees on the side.
Oh, in the nice.
In the same pattern as the Wild logo.
Oh.
And I was like, that is freaking classy right there.
He's given his you know, that's his roots.
Right. You know, and but he I think they won the game, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
won 4-1.
He gave up one goal.
I mean,
so
you know, it's not a bad situation for a good old backy there.
And I think he was looking at a shutout through the second, or midway through the second is when the first goal got let in. So, I mean, good for him. I mean, you know what? Can you ask for a goaltender to stay as classy as that? I mean, he's basically being third stringed. He's being redshirted in a professional team.
What was really great is if you're on Reddit at all, you know, people talking about Backstrom playing in the next game for Calgary. There was some Wild fans who were like dogging on him about how he ruined the chance for Fletcher to move him because he hit his injury. And it's like, you know what? Backstrom is a leading winning goaltender in Wild franchise history.
Yeah.
As a Wild fan, I don't know how I could have anything but respect for him. I may have disliked the fact that he would always lose in shootouts.
At least you know, as of his late career with the Wild that we saw.
He was never really that good in shootouts.
No, he wasn't. And I will admit, I was the same way. Like, oh, we're going to a shootout. Backstrom's in that. Yeah, we're effed.
In a lot of it, in a lot of his you know, career was... And his winning career was under Lemaire, and that probably helped him. But, you know, what the guy battled through injuries, and you know, he had tough injuries. It wasn't like something he could just bounce back from. And later in his career,
yeah.
I mean, and all he wanted to do is play some more.
Yeah.
And we gave him the chance, and he's now playing, and he's doing all right.
Yeah. It's nice. That's the thing is I'm happy that he got a shot to actually play there again because, you know, as great of a team player as he was for being the scratch, you know, night after night with, you know, a couple goalies sitting in front of him, I think that, you know, deep down these guys, no matter how much they're getting paid, whether it's, you know, $50 a game or, you know, $50,000 a game. They don't care. Really, they're out there to compete and play. I mean, that's...
And everything that I've read about that guy is he was a consummate professional. Like, practices, he was out there and he was giving his all. He, you know, he wanted to make the team better. He wanted to be better for himself.
Yeah.
And he just... did it. And I think, Jive, that's in the same line that you were going off of.
Well, and I would guess a lot of people were probably, a lot of Wild fans were probably saying, why don't you just retire? Save us the, you know, that extra spot in the
scratches. I think we said that.
You know, but, you know, speaking of retiring.
Yeah, people who have retired, we got PMB, Pierre-Marc Bouchard, who just recently via, you know, basically his agent, announced his retirement. I mean, basically, he's been dealing with, you know, some possible, you know, damage to his cranium,
his with noggin.
I
don't think he's had anything when he's been playing the concussion since the last big one with the Wild.
Yeah,
but you know,
I like PMB pre-concussion syndrome.
Yeah.
Well, yes,
but I mean,
does that make sense? Maybe.
I don't know. I like him after he got concussed. Personally, no one says that he was a much better player after he was concussed. Gotcha.
Yeah, you did. All
right. So,
damn it.
So with all that, I mean, this discussion comes up in not only hockey, it comes up in football, in baseball.
Well,
I mean,
not according to Bettman. Bettman thinks that football.
We've got Maurer.
Concusses are
we've got Maurer
different.
Who's had some issues. Mm-hmm. He's wearing, what is it, some special glasses now this year or something, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, so there's better equipment these days.
How does that help Maurer's knees?
And are there any, so, I mean, are all these concerns like surrounding like the concussions, is it like hindering the play of the players, you know, in hockey in general? I mean,
I don't think it is.
Are we overly concerned about it? Is that
no?
You know?
I don't think it is, because I mean, you look at any game. I don't know that there's a ton of necessarily. It wasn't like it was back in the day where you'd have head hits all the time, but I think if you're really paying attention during any given game, there's probably gonna be a hit to the head in some way or some fashion.
Yeah,
and
but just because you get hit in the head doesn't mean that you've had a concussion.
I don't know. That's kind of how some of the stuff is starting to seem, though.
But, well, you also have the other way where, you know, it almost flips it around. And, you know, you'll have guys, you know, with the puck near the board, and they'll turn their back to the board hoping for, like, a boarding call or someone to quote-unquote lay them out.
Right.
You know, just to, you know, search for a penalty.
And they'll dive it.
And this is, you know, kind of my point. Maybe I didn't ask the question clear enough. Because there's sometimes when, you know, you have so much concern over something that you don't play the same way. And does that lead to, like, more injuries?
I don't think the playing does. I think it actually exposes exploits for the rules that they've incorporated to protect players. I think that's the bigger thing.
I'm a big fan of taking away the pads and let the players play naked. Not naked, but...
let's mark this down on the calendar, the day that Kenny proposed that players play naked.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, but I mean... Get them back.
That brings a whole new meaning to high sticking.
Oh boy!
Wow.
No, but you know, I think you start getting more protective gear in there. It's going to change how the players play, thinking that they're more protected. So, you know, you get rid of some of that, and they're not going to be like...
Well, that brings me to my next question. Should NHL players just be required to wear maybe like a more protective helmet or something like that? I mean,
Wasn't it Don Beebe back in the day would have that helmet in the NFL where
the big bubble thing?
Yeah, like a second helmet that would like pop off sometimes if you got hit right.
Huh.
John Olerud, first baseman for the Blue Jays for the longest time back in the day, would always wear a batting helmet playing the field, even though he's a first baseman. But it was because he wanted to protect his head.
We're not too far away from all the millennials like getting into professional sports that are, you know, everybody's a champion.
Yeah, well, then everybody will win. But I mean, as far as the equipment goes, I think that, you know, we have been able to, you know, as a society, we've been able to come up with so many amazing, you know, inventions that can bring, you know, I mean, think of how quickly we can communicate around this world now.
Sure.
Compared to back, you know, not but like 100 years ago, you would have never imagined getting your message across to somebody as quick as a snap of the fingers.
Well,
I mean, should we be expecting, you know, better protective wear for the players?
Jive, I'm gonna put this as the chicken or the egg philosophy. I mean, we got players now that are training essentially 365 days a year right now. So you got guys that are bigger, faster, stronger on the ice,
mm-hmm.
which now relegates equipment that can protect you a lot more against guys that are bigger, quicker, stronger. So is the equipment need to advance, or does the equipment need to advance because the players are advancing? Because the sport is advancing? I mean, what's coming on faster here? Or is it just the fact that, you know, the players are advancing, so if we got rid of some of this equipment and dumbed it back down, that the players would stop taking some of these hits because they're more protected?
So you're saying make the elbow pads and the shoulder pads a little bit smaller?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Or how about the fact that the human body is just a fragile thing, in that no one's invincible, and you can put you can make a giant helmet around a head, but at a certain point, it's gonna have you're gonna hit the point of diminishing returns, and that head is still gonna get injured regardless of whether.
Absolutely, it's gonna rattle around inside your skull when you get hit,
and you maybe just need to pay more attention to head hits.
But I mean. My thought was, like, I mean, if you got guys with less pads on there, it's going to hurt them more when they're taking that same hit as they're giving the hit.
Well, talking about the size of pads.
Yeah. The NHL general managers met in Florida this week. They had some crazy propositions for goal changes, some more realistic. One of the proposed rules was smaller goalie pads and tighter enforcement of having smaller pads on the goalies. So for that, do we think that enforcing smaller pads is enough to rein in the goalies as far as, you know, the robot giant, you know, goalie thing that's been going on?
You know, I guess I wouldn't disagree with, making the size of the pads a little bit smaller. I think that it's nice to see the games where you got a little bit lower scoring, but if you want to draw in fans and if you want to have excitement in your games, I think that you need to open it up a little bit more. You know, don't make it that easy for them to make the saves with these huge goalie pads. I mean, when you stack your pads and you're taking up 3/4 of the net, there's not, you know,
there's not much room there.
Although we've seen video with two sumo wrestlers in net, and dude still managed to get a puck through the net. Who was that? It was
Perone.
Yeah, not a well known goal scorer.
No, but at the same point, you know, I don't know that they went there, but you know, maybe it might even be a part of a matter of having the goalie wear a different kind of jersey than a regular player would wear, you know, where it's, you know, more of a spandexy, kind of like a football player would wear, where it's like wrapped around his pads rather than a loose baggy jersey where you can kind of conceal what padding you might have there.
Well,
you know,
again, I'm going with the philosophy of, why do we need all these pads? I mean, the players are getting tougher, but I think if you take away some of it, they're going to referee themselves, because I mean, they're going to get hurt just as bad hitting it. And I mean, you know, there's been talk about increasing the size of the goal previously, or the net.
Might as well make it a soccer net, right? Right.
Well, exactly. But it's like, you know, do we do that, or do we, you know, bring down the size of the goal pads? And it's like, well, why are you letting them increase the size of the goal pads? So I'm all for it. I'm saying cut down on the size of the goals, the goal pads.
So one of the other rules they brought up was blue line cameras for offsides and that sort of thing.
Yes, I'm for it.
They brought him in during the Wild New Jersey game, I think, to just test them. And they're going to bring him in actually during the playoffs here. So we'll get a more broad test. You know, with adding the blue line cameras, do you think there's anywhere else that they might want to add cameras?
Goal cam, maybe, but, you know, you have that already?
The goal line. Do you have that, though?
Not on the goal line.
They usually give you some sort of an angle at it, so you can't see right down that line.
Maybe something right down the goal post on the upper post shooting straight down.
Yeah, so you can actually get that, you know,
the puck coming across the line.
Well, yeah, but on an even
straight down.
Yeah,
the actual plane of the
plane. That's what I was looking for there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. I think that could be a good thing, or just the placement of the cameras that they're going to do the reviews on.
Well, I think a big thing is that the camera placement will differ from arena to arena.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing. And I'm not saying it's not going to benefit one team or another because it's pretty arbitrary any way you cut it.
Yep.
But the fact that there's no consistency is really weird.
I mean, we look back to that Brodziak goal when we last played St. Louis.
The offside one.
Yeah. Was it offside? You know, we can obviously think that it wasn't. The ref might think that we can think that it was, but the ref might think that it wasn't. And honestly, you know, given whatever angles he's got to look at it, can he make a decision that, you know, beyond any doubt, yes, that was definitely that was definitely offsides? Or did he just not have enough evidence to say definitively that I'm going to turn that call over?
I'm going to completely agree. Going, if offsides is going to be a challengeable call for a goal, you should have cameras on those blue lines saying definitively if it's offside or onside when that puck crossed that blue line.
And speaking of which, that, you know, they agreed that there's going to be no changes to the coach's challenge. That's going to be basically remain untouched.
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay. I don't have any problem with that. I mean, I think things are kind of working as they planned.
Yeah.
Minus the offsides, like, being kind of hit or miss.
Well, the whole bringing it across and having control, that is unbelievably arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we saw that personally.
Right. So I'm not in love with that part, but that's a totally different rule. But they did propose some other changes, but that they're more like going to bring back to their teams and discuss whether they should propose them next year as legitimate rule changes. One was, you know, team, and these are all rules designed to increase offense. One was that teams get to play the full 2 minutes for penalties.
Thoughts on that one? Don't they do that in high school on certain penalties?
No.
Well, certain penalties they do.
A five-minute major, you always get
all 5 minutes. You always do. I think even a four-minute, you get the full penalty.
Well, a double minor. Maybe you have to serve the second minor still after.
I think high school is a little bit different in Minnesota.
But you don't have to fulfill the whole 2 minutes if someone scores a goal, though.
Right, no.
No, but there's different five-minute majors in high school that they do
But that's fulfill. Different, but they don't make you play out the 2 minutes.
Though. Right.
But thoughts on the two-minute rule?
I don't know. That could provide a little bit more offense on the power play. It would tend to give an advantage to any team that is better, you know, with the man advantage.
Sure.
I think that
would also spur teams not to commit penalties, right?
Potentially. But I do think that, you know, if you are on a penalty kill and you have just given up a goal, I think you have paid enough of your penalty.
Right, right.
That, you know, you should call it a wash at that point.
What if you're so unbelievably bad on the PK? you give up like three goals in that man advantage or something like that.
What if you're the Wild?
You're gonna have teams clamoring to have that rule changed,
right?
In a hurry.
The Wild shouldn't even be looking at that right now. They should just be looking at getting a power play goal.
Or maybe it's a team will give up three goals and they'll be like, okay, I guess we're never gonna give up a penalty ever again.
Yeah. And if you give up a penalty, or if you draw a penalty, I am going to personally fine you. You know, the team fines, you know.
Things are going to change, right? You know, speaking of penalty kill, you know, another rule that was proposed was that icing would be called on the defending teams on a PK.
No, I don't like, I think the PK team still deserves to get to be able to shoot the puck down to clear it.
And, you know, a lot of these things, I think, lean towards, you know, that you're bringing
they're
up.
They're trying to get more offense.
They lean towards offense, yes.
Yeah.
And so trying to get more offense, I think that starting with, like, the goalie pads, making the goalies a little bit smaller in net, make them, I mean, if your pads are smaller, you've got a little more chance to be a little bit more agile as a goalie. So you're probably going to see a few more exciting saves, but, you know, a few more are going to get past the goalies. Now, the stats for the goalies might not, you know, be so desirable.
Right.
But you want to know what? Going to see a 0-0 game, tight-checking game,
Well, I saw a good comment on Reddit. It was like, you know, we don't really care about high-scoring games. We care about high scoring chances, you know.
So that's actually a very valid point.
If a game ends up 1-2, but there's, you know, a ton of scoring chances on both sides, we love that
because then the goalies are making some amazing saves.
Exactly. But if it's you know, 10 shots each team, and it's a, you know, or maybe 20 shots each team, and it's, you know, a 4-5 game, we're a little less interested because there's just not much action. It's just a lot of...
So you're thinking the ice needs to get opened up a little bit then, basically.
Maybe.
I thought it was a very interesting comment. And actually, that was, the other proposed change was a time limit on how long a player can hold the puck behind the net before he has to move it.
Are we turning into NBA right now?
Shot clock.
Yeah, essentially is what it's turning into.
Yeah.
No, I disagree with that. Because, I mean, there's times where you're waiting for the line change to happen. You know, no, hold it up. You know, how often do you see the player just holding up the puck for like 30 seconds at a time? It's not very often. I mean, it's usually...
Not always.
Yeah. It depends on the flow of the game. And sometimes, yes, the game gets to that very sluggish point where it just needs to get...
Or you have teams that are just doing lazy line changes. Mm-hmm. You got a guy just camping back there, waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting.
So, yeah. I don't know. I guess a time limit... No, I don't think I would be in agreement with that.
And I don't think you don't see a lot, you know, it's not like the Gretzky days where he'd sit in Gretzky's office behind the opposing net and just wait there. Right. We don't see a whole lot of that.
Yeah. We don't.
You know, it's guys are trying to move that puck.
But then he'd take it from coast to coast.
But Gretzky's a different beast, and I don't think we should be making rules for Gretzky when he hasn't been in the league for 15 years.
Hell, he hasn't been behind the bench for, what, 5 now?
It's been more than that, I think. But speaking of another rule they were discussing was the draft lottery. And they discussed, you know, making changes, particularly that they called the Euler rule or the Euler clause against repeat winners of the draft lottery. If you win so many first place or first picks in a row,
mm-hmm.
you might lose your first pick next year.
You know what? It's
like
a lottery. I mean, obviously, Edmonton's done a whole lot with their first round draft picks in the past 5 years.
Right. It's a gamble, And just because you get the first pick doesn't mean that that's always going to pan out.
Edmonton has some great talent on their team right now.
It doesn't always mean you're going to pick the best player either, you know?
And, yeah, how many cups have they won lately?
But, well...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same point, you know, I got to say that McDavid is going to be one of those guys that's going to be... He's going to change the face of that team, I think. So,
well, you know, good for him and let him do it. But they're not doing anything. They're not winning a cup, which is the grand prize for a hockey team. I mean, getting Lord Stanley's cup is the grand prize. So, yeah, it's not going to happen.
So another rule they brought up was the possible expansion draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that brings us into Twitter talk, right? So, as I said, Nostra Derek Felska at State of Hooky News.
You got the Nostra.
He put in, who should the Wild protect in an expansion draft? And then he actually has a good article about, you know, who you'd protect in a potential expansion draft. Of course, they haven't figured out whether or not how they're going to handle the no movement clauses, because that actually puts a huge wrench in the Wild's plans or potential plans about, you know, who they would protect. Right. You know, if I'm looking at our team, I think the rule was six forwards and four defensemen, or eight players total.
I thought it was seven skaters and a goalie, or...
No. I'm pretty sure it was six forwards and four defensemen and a goalie, or eight players total and a goalie.
Well, it used to be two goalies, and they changed it.
Right. So, you know, if I'm looking... If I pretend that the no-movement clauses don't exist, you know, if I'm looking at my roster of who I protect... And it's right now, you know, I'm probably going to go 6-4 just because our team is relatively-ish balanced.
Do we want to give Felska's prediction since he proposed the question?
Well, I'm going to give mine first.
Okay. Not his since he proposed it?
Okay, go ahead.
Parisi, Nino, Coyle, Koivu, Zucker, Granlund. Eck, Suter, Scandella, Dumba, Spurgeon, Brodin, Dubnyk.
Well, Eck would be protected under the new rules because anyone under 2 years of service...
He'd be taken care of.
He'd be safe. So I'm going to go... If I'm looking at my current players here, I'm going Parisi, Coyle.
Parisi might be covered, though, too, which we don't know yet.
We don't know. I'm going off of that he's not protected. Parisi, Coyle, Granlund, Niederreiter, Zucker, Holla, I guess.
I would put Holla in there, too.
That's a weird combination of forwards. But defenseman, I'm going to go Scandella, Spurgeon, Dumba, Brodin, I guess.
You know, I don't think I can argue with you on the forwards. Or on the defense. What about goalie?
Dubnyk.
Would you save him, or would you just say, you know,
no,
take
I think
him?
Dubnyk's savable, I think. What do you think, Jive?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely look to cover up Dubnyk and make sure that we shore him up. As far as the skaters go, I'm definitely looking to cover up some of our younger players, the Dumbas. Maybe even somebody like Fontaine.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's still potential there.
Jives are riding the Fon train.
For some of those players, a Coyle, I definitely would put a blanket over him and
nurture him and hug him,
yes,
and hold him.
Hey, see him in that shootout win tonight? Thank you. They'll come around. These are still young guys that I think that you know, we're only seeing the beginnings, and as young as they are, if we can hang on to some of these guys, I think that we'll have some good years down the road where we'll get good production out of them. So, really, I would be looking to protect, you know, some of our younger guys like that. And, of course, Dumba, you know, you could probably call me the Dumba lover because I'm all about protecting him. I think that the upside for Dumba in this league is huge. About as big as that hit that he put on Kane tonight.
Nice, so, that was nice.
But I mean that and his shot. I think that he's definitely a valuable one for our team.
And honestly, I mean, I think this is actually an opportunity to free up some cap space for the Wild, with a couple of guys getting taken. I mean, I'd hold on the Parisi. I'd hold on the Coyle. I'd hold on the Koivu, Zucker, and Halla. Maybe Granlin. D, you know, Suter's kind of locked up, but I mean, if you get away with not holding him, I don't think it'd be the end of the world. But, you know, Spurgeon, Scandella, definitely.
All right.
And that's kind of where I'm at. So, with that, we got the Teresa Ferris asked us a question, at MN Sota 24. Some players need a reboot right now. Name a player, what OS, Mac or PC are they on now, and what upgrade do they need?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think the easy one is Vanek.
Yeah,
apparently
he's Amiga because he's European, and Europeans love Amigas.
Wait, first you're Russian, then European. What was that joke?
Like, I have no idea what joke you're going for.
Hey, I gotta pee. No, first you're Russian, then European.
Oh yeah, and then you're Finnish.
And then you finish.
Oh boy.
man, you are one pathetic loser.
So I'm going to go with Vanek being Amiga, and he needs to go to, I don't know, what up. I don't even, where do you, if you're using Amiga still, where do you even go from there? I don't even know. So that's what I'm going with. Vanek is Amiga.
Chive.
Well, since she specifies Mac or PC, I'm going to go with Pominville as a PC, and he's probably still running Windows Me.
As a, or MS Bob.
MS Bob. MS Bob.
And I know I'm totally dating myself because that OS was like, it wasn't even OS, it was like a wrapper.
Hey, what the hell is MS Bob?
It was like a wrapper on Windows 3.1,
yeah.
And it was, I don't even know. Imagine dumbing down the...
How could you dumb down 3.1?
I don't know, but it was dumbed down.
At that time, Windows 3.1 was innovative, and, I mean, that stuff was crazy, man. And now look at where Windows are. They're everywhere. We use a window for everything. And
see, MS Bob didn't draw. It was basically a bitmap image of three shelves... And it put the icons on the shelves, so you could click the icons on the shelves. It was really stupid. I'm not trying to make it. It was really bad.
All right.
This is what I remember from my days working at Best Buy when I was a teenager, and it was really bad. But I could say Pominville's MS Bob, and I'd be okay with that.
I'm gonna go with Suter starting the mumps trend, because I mean that was kind of like Windows 95, wasn't that like a virus-ish thing?
That's what a Mac user would say. Oh, burn!
Oh, ouch.
You got no comeback for that.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Totally correct.
So we got another question coming in from Scott, Scott Drain, at Drain Scott. He's asking three in the box. Do you guys think Dumba and Riley pairing will last through the season? Are these two good? young D-men, the future of the Minnesota Wild.
I think, I don't know if the pairing will last because, you know, it's all a matter of whether Suter thinks they should be together, since he's basically the coach on ice and he can determine
he's a D coach
and he can determine who the pairings are.
That's why he's out there just just kind of striding around. He's coaching.
All
right. He's watching everybody else.
Yeah, the A on his jersey is assistant coach. Didn't you know that?
That's what that's for. Yeah.
Yo.
Wait, we did not get rid of that sample yet?
whether they should be together or not, I mean, I don't mind it. I thought that, you know, tonight Dumba had a few good plays. He had a few bad plays, but Riley,
he knocked the shit out of Kane.
He knocked the shit out of Kane and he played up really well. Riley actually covered for Dumba pretty well when Dumba had like a little bit of a, I don't want to say a flop, but he flailed.
Laps in judgment.
And Riley was right there and was on top of it. Yep. And I don't know that that's the worst combination, and they'll grow together. So I'm okay with it.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, the experience there is just, you know, I don't think that it's, you know, all that it's cracked up to be. I think that Dumba, I mean, he's had some good time in now. So he's gaining that the feel for the game at this level, and hopefully you think that will lead to better decisions being made, you know, defensively out there. But as far as, you know, pairing him with somebody like Riley, who is very young and still very, you know, very much deciding to try to you know, find himself here in the NHL.
Kenny's ruining Jai's concentration by sniffing his own feet. I think I'm just going to put that on record. We're not even going to cut this because it's so bizarre. But basically, Kenny was sniffing his own feet, and it totally broke Jai's concentration there.
It's been a long day.
I'll have to say.
Tradition.
Can we go back to Teresa's question about which one of the
done.
How about which one of the three in the box players needs a reboot?
I could use one right now.
Yes, you could. All right, that said, let's go ahead. Let's just get into the game of the week.
So we got three upcoming games this week. We have Kings at the Wild on Tuesday, Flames at the Wild on Thursday, and then Wild at Avs on Saturday. Since I get to choose the game of the week, I'm picking the Wild at the Avs. That's going to be a huge game considering how close we are right now in the standings.
Most definitely.
So, Jive, what do you think the outcome of that will be?
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to pick the Wild win in this one. I'm going to guess that it's actually going to be a tight game, if you didn't think it would be. But I think they'll maybe get another OT shootout win here.
Oh. Kenny, what are you thinking?
I'm going with the Wild winning 5-2 over the Avs. You know what?
That's awfully ballsy there.
On the table.
Please don't.
I
will bob at you.
Don't bob at me, Jive. Don't bob at me. I see balls on table, you know, open, empty net, 5 minutes, 6 minutes left in the game, couple empty nets. Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Well, I'm going to kind of go on Jive's side. I'm going to go Wild winning 3-2. Or I put Wild 3, Wah 2.
Wow, that was a great game.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, that was a great. That was a good game.
Oh, boy. But I think it's going to be a close one. You know, considering the way the season's gone out, I don't think the Wild are particularly good. I don't think the Avs are actually that good. Hopefully we're on the better side of that, even though we're on the road. So
hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully we can leapfrog them.
So I think Kenny needs a nap here. So, you know, when we're not live tweeting Wild games.
I want a full night of sleep.
When we're not live tweeting Wild games or 3 in the box, and again, that's at 3 in the box on Twitter. You can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me at about.me/IamKenny. That is K-E-N-N-E-Y with links to my Twitter and Facebook accounts. Jive.
Yeah, and I'm Jive. You can find me. I'm at about.me/HeyJive. Good night.